Take your Bible, go to the book of Luke this morning, book of Luke chapter number 12. Book of Luke chapter number 12. And I'm going to start in verse 35. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. Understand something. Everybody's a little bit different, but I personally like to read the Word of God before I ever do anything else. Once in a while I say a few words, but try to do most of it afterwards. Because this is our authority. This is that which upon we speak, that we draw our authority from. And those we read, and we'll be reading several verses here, I realize you and I, as we would read singly or even corporately now, we might not retain all of these things. Matter of fact, if we did, we would have to preach. No, we just read it and read it and read it, and we'd go home. But we need a lot of help in those areas. So look with me and let God speak to your heart. It starts in verse number 35. It says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." By the way, I stopped just for a moment. That word suffer normally means allow. And there are about 20, maybe 30 words in the Old English. The meanings have changed to some degree. And if you learn those, it really helps in your Bible study. And that's one of those that you'll see often. Another one is conversation. And I always think of the word behavior. Conversation being what we converse one with another, but really you stop and think about it, it's more than what we say, it's how we are acting while we are doing so. More so for females than males. Don't ask me why, just the way it is. All right, so I lost where I'm at. Verse number 40 says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, that the Lord of that servant will come at a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given him shall be much required, and him to whom men have committed much, of him shall they ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth. Of what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from thenceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against his son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, There shall be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, and thou art in the way, give diligence thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Let us go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we want to thank you just for the privilege to read your word this morning. Now, Father, we realize that your word is so tremendous and so marvelous that there is no way we can do it justice. But for some reason, you have ordained preaching, you have ordained teaching your word. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you might lead us and direct us, our hearts might be drawn to that which is helpful and noteworthy. Lord God, I pray that for anyone in this room that has a special need, especially spiritually, you would meet that need in their life. And for this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I've simply entitled this lesson this morning, Be Ready, Be Ready. The verses that we have read here are very similar. They're much akin to what we find in Matthew chapter 24. And to rightly divide the Word of God is of utmost importance. We need to be able to look at it, and when he says rightly divide, there are things here, there are things there, and they need to be brought together in proper perspective. We find here the subject is the coming of the Lord. There is, however, I believe, some truth that we need to understand about the second coming that must be grasped, or confusion and wrong application will result. So I'm going to try very, very, I want to use the word hard, but it's probably not the best word. With all of my ability, I'm going to try to use terms in what I'm going to try to describe now as their definition. The coming of the Lord is in two parts, or two phases. The first phase that we would look at is that of the rapture. If you turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll just take a couple moments. And we read here of this rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 4. These are verses I often use during a funeral, especially somebody who's been saved, and the reason is found, I believe, very simply here. Notice what it says in verse number 13, chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So he's writing this because there have been people who have died. And it's talking about when you die, your body basically goes to sleep. Some believe in soul sleep, but I believe thought can be eliminated as we read these verses. Notice verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now he's going to bring them with him, but the body's in the grave. What's going on? Well, let's keep going. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. There's one of those old words, means precede. Will shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now we find that they came with him, and yet he brings them up. So what we're seeing here, death is what? A separation. It's separation. You and I, if we're not saved, we are separated from God. So we're dead spiritually. And if we're dead spiritually and we die physically, then we are dead spiritually for eternally. And in all those cases, it means not a cessation of life, but a separation. You see, God made us in his image. God never dies. And so we need to understand, we either have eternal life or eternal death. Okay? And so here we're finding that those who are saved, they're either caught up with the Lord in the air at that sound because they're on earth. That'd be great today, wouldn't it? And or if somebody has passed away, their body's in the grave, the soul's of the Lord, he's going to bring them back. They're going to reunite the body and the soul together. We call that the rapture. Now, there's another phase of the coming of Christ. You go to the book of Revelation for just a moment. We look several places, but just simplicity's sake, we'll look at chapter 1. Book of Revelation, chapter number 1. And I'm going to go to verse number 7. And notice what it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," and what's that next word? Every. When you understand that, every eye shall see him. Does every mean every? Okay. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Now the first one in 1 Thessalonians I call the rapture, this I call the revelation. I do that simply because it's alliterated, it helps me in my remembrance. So when we come, and we think of the coming of Christ the second time, we see it in two phases. One is the rapture, where he comes to the clouds, the trumpet is sounded, and we go to meet him there. The revelation is when he comes, could we put it this way, through the clouds, down to the earth, and everybody sees him. So these two comings are separated. We're not going to do it, but we study the book of Daniel in connection with Revelation. We find by at least 7 years. We call those 7 years the Great Tribulation. But we find these two comings have some similarities. One of them, clouds, are mentioned in both. By the way, it's because of these similarities that sometimes we mix it up. So we find there's clouds. The rapture, he comes to the clouds, while the revelation, he comes through the clouds. In both situations, there are people who see him. At the rapture, it's the saved. They are taken into his presence. While at the revelation, how many eyes will see him? Every eye shall see him. So all folks will see him. And there be a great difference between the rapture and the revelation. Now, in both of these cases, I believe that God's people need to be in a state of anticipation, longing for, desiring to be with the Lord. Now, we don't get so desirous about that that we say, boy, I just would like to die today and go to his presence. But there ought to be certainly that longing in our soul. Now, there's one difference that needs to be recognized very thoroughly as we look at this. And that is, the rapture is for the church. It's for the saved people of our age. The revelation, as we would discover if we went into it great detail, is for the Jewish people. One is for the church, the other is for the Jewish people. For our text, it's important for us to see who he is talking to. If you are in chapter 12, notice verse number 32. Notice what he says, "Fear not," what's the next two words? Nobody's there with me yet. "Little flock. Fear not, little flock." I find that interesting. And it seems as though he's speaking directly to those disciples that are with him. Okay? And so here we find him speaking to these, and he's going to speak about some marvelous things to take place. By the way, in the Revelation, we don't find that there's a trumpet and a taking up. We don't find that. But in the rapture, we do. And I believe that there's some things here that we find help us divide these. Now, there are two admonitions that are given here that I want to use to try to divide these verses. And one of them is found in verses 35 to 39. It's very simply this: be ready. Be ready. The tendency of the Jewish people was to progressively fall away from God. That was their tendency. All we must do is read the history of the Jewish peoples. All we need to go is back to the book of Genesis, and especially as you go through Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus, not so much, but in Deuteronomy, and then you get into Joshua and Judges, especially Judges. What do you find? We find people, they're strong for a little while, and then they seem to fall away from God. Okay? And so he's saying to these people who have that tendency, you need to be ready. You need to be ready at all times. Verse 35, he speaks of their preparedness. He says there, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. You women who wear a long dress, you could probably understand this better than me. If you were wanting to run, somehow you could take that dress and you could reach down and pull that and kind of make it like pants around you. Gird up your loins. You could even pull it up and put a sash around to some degree and be able to work in a better fashion. That's what he's talking about. Get ready to do something. Let your loins be girded about. You're ready to take off. And let your lights be burning. In other words, the bridegroom was to be coming. They didn't know when, and they needed to be ready to go out and to meet him. And so to do so, if it was dark, they needed their lights. Now it's interesting that we find in verse number 36, it says, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. By the way, when he comes at the revelation, it seems as though he is going to be coming from the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a marvelous time that will be. You ever wonder what's going to be at that supper? Huh? What are we going to eat in heaven? I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe it's going to be manna. Who knows? I don't know what it's going to be. But God's going to, we're going to have a tremendous feast in that regard. He returns from the wedding and says that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Okay? So one of the things that we find is, they ought to be ready. They ought to be excited about the fact that he is about to come upon them. And you and I, we need it, by the way, not in context of this one, but in the context of the rapture, we ought to be excited about his coming. The fact that the trumpet could sound, that the voice could be heard, you and I be taken immediately into the presence of God. I find something. God's people are more excited about the rapture when their bills are due than when they're not. We get older, we're more excited about the rapture when we're feeling horrible than when we're not. Huh? I've often wondered, does God allow some of those things to make us more excited? Perhaps so. We find something interesting, verse 37. When he comes, it tells us that he will serve them. He will come forth and serve him. Wow. That's our Lord. It reminds me of the picture of the Last Supper and the Lord Jesus taking a towel and a basin of water and getting down on the floor and washing their feet. And the thing we ought to learn from that, by the way, brethren, is service to others is not lowly. It's not lowly. I was asked to do a funeral Friday. I never met the family. Well, there wasn't any family. She only had just a few friends. And I think she had been born a mongoloid, had that appearance. And her life's work had been housekeeping. And as I saw that, I thought, wow. And I had this picture in my mind of her perhaps working in a hospital somewhere, cleaning the floor. And my mind then went back as I lay in the hospital bed, and a number of times those who would come in and clean the room and the cheer that they brought. There was one in particular over at the University of Nebraska that just, I mean, she lit up the day when she came in. And she might have been just the cleaning lady in the eyes of some, but she was an angel sent from God in my mind. And so the Lord comes to serve them. In verse number 38, we notice there, he shall come in the second watch or in the third and find them so blessed are those servants. We don't know when he's going to come. They will not know even then when he is coming. They just need to be ready. Matter of fact, he says he's going to come. It's going to be like a thief. It's going to be like a thief in the night, spoken of in verse number 39. And so a thief does not announce himself. He doesn't send an invitation to your house and say, hey, I'm coming tonight to rob your house. He's going to sneak in when you least expect it and do his dirty deed. Of course, the Lord is not a dirty deed. And they need to be ready. Part of that being ready is be doing. That'd be the last thought I have. Be doing. And so in the rest of this chapter, and we're not covered in its extensiveness, but we find a few things I'd like to share. First of all, he gives a parable about a steward. Now, a steward is somebody who waits on others. And in verse number 42, it says, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make rule over his house? Who is that one? And the Lord tries to teach us something very marvelous. And that is that the one who is faithful to his work, God says he's going to make him a ruler in verse 44. God's going to bless him. God's going to bring upon him, we could use the word judgment, but certainly the word blessing in his life. However, there are some that did not believe he was coming. And we find that there's some very stern words. If you go to verse number 45 with me. It says, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come at a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, him shall be much required. To whom much men have committed much, of him shall they ask the more. And so we find that there are those who did not believe in his coming, and they will be judged. Now, there's three distinctives that he makes about these who are not ready for him and not doing what he wants. And if we notice there, it tells us they knew his will. It's interesting. They knew his will. They understood what God wanted. I'm trying to find the actual verse. My mind is going right past it. What's that? Verse 47. Thank you. And that servant which knew his Lord's will. Right? He knew what it was. You know, there's a lot of folks who know what God expects. But it says here that he didn't prepare himself. Didn't prepare himself. And thus, he didn't do according to the will of God. Though doctrinally, I believe this is Jewish, practically, we can apply it to us as God's people. Because of the coming of the Lord, whether rapture or revelation, we don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know when it will come. But we do know this. We know that it's the will of God that he will come. It's written. We know that. Are we prepared for it? You say, well, how do I get prepared? Well, one, you got to be saved, right? But I think one who really believes in the coming of the Lord, there is something that takes place in their life. If you go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. If you have trouble finding it, find 2 John and go back one. Notice verse number 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's a marvelous thought. "Therefore the world knew us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. To as many as received him, gave him the power to become the sons of God." If you received him, he's talking about us. We are the sons of God. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard." We cannot comprehend the tremendous changes that are going to take place physically and all about us. And it's just marvelous. I mean, in our greatest imagination, I don't believe we can get close to it. Doesn't appear what we shall be. But notice verse 3 is where we're headed. It says, "And every man," so he's connecting it to this whole thought here. "And every man that hath this hope in him," what's it say? "Purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So when you and I are getting ready, when you and I understand that the coming of the Lord could be at any moment, and we really believe that, it will have a purifying effect upon us. It's just the way that it works. I got 3 girls in the front row. Pretty young ladies. So how did you get ready this morning? What did you do anything special? Did you sleep like that? No. You didn't? You didn't either? You didn't sleep with your boots on? Really? You didn't sleep that idea? What did you do to yourselves? Huh? Did you comb your hair? Hey, thank you. I'm glad you did that. There's not anything that makes a girl look more ridiculous than when her hair is just a mess. Because it's her glory. Did you know that? Right. So you combed your hair. Thank you. Did you get all the cooties out? You don't even know what a cootie is. Okay. Did you do anything else? Did you brush your teeth? Candace says, thank you. You brush your teeth. You curled your hair. Okay. Use one of those irons and you twist it around and do all that kind of stuff. I don't use those. I can't get my hair around them. It doesn't work. So you curled your hair. Why'd you do that? Because you had time? I think there's a bigger reason. Would you like for people to see you the way you got up? Depends. Most mornings not. Candace says that. Oh, yeah. You must just wake up perfect every morning. Okay. So what are you doing? Can we use the word purifying yourself? Because you are expecting to meet somebody. You know what's happened a whole lot in the last 6 months in houses? Huh? Because they've been locked in their house, they've not gone anywhere, they get out of bed, they don't do anything. Listen to this word. They look like an old hag all day. I mean, nothing changes. Why? They're not expecting to see anybody. You ladies that have your own place. Now, you girls don't have your own place. You got your own rooms, but would if you knew I was coming to your house to look at your room, what would you do? Anything? Huh? Somebody may know. I didn't get it. You'd probably clean it. You know what you're telling me right now? You're telling me right now it's dirty. It's a mess. Because you're going to clean it up. Okay? I'm getting at something. This is very simple. You all understand this. If we know somebody's coming, we're going to meet somebody. Listen, one of these days, there's going to be Mr. Right walk into your life. Yeah. You know that handsome dude? He might not be that handsome to anybody else, but he will be to you. You know, your daughter probably thinks he's the most ugly guy in the world, but I mean, he's going to walk into your life. You want to be prepared for that. Right? Okay? You want to be prepared for that. What are we talking about? God's people who are really expecting to go into the presence of the Lord. What are they doing? They are purifying themselves. And of course, part of that purification is asking God to forgive us. But then it is, what? Doing those things that beautify us. Allowing the Spirit of God to come upon us and to enhance the beautiful fruit of the Spirit in our life. So there's that preparation. And though these verses, I believe, doctrinally are speaking of that time of the revelation, we can make some application because we know the will of God in the matter of the rapture. And we need to prepare ourselves. And that means to purify ourselves. But we find these, they didn't do according to His will. So that's telling me that His will is that they would prepare themselves. And that's very important for us. And if we do not, by getting saved, we do not prepare ourselves, we find that there is separation coming. For the Jew, it's taking speech on something else. There's coming a time when there will be division upon the earth. The Bible talks in Matthew chapter 24 about some being taken and some left. And most of the time, because we know that somebody who's taken up from the earth, they're raptured into the presence of God, we automatically think that's talking about the saved. But actually, it's not. Because those that are taken up, we find they are taken away into judgment. You look at chapter 24, and you find that. We'll go there in a second. And those that are left, they're His people. He's coming to them. And forever be with Him. Go back to the book of Matthew with me for just a moment. This helped me to understand some things about prophecy more than anything else as this truth came upon me. And I've really, it's only been the last year or so. Chapter number 24. If you go with me to verse number, we'll go to verse 31. And notice what it says, He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Does that sound like the rapture? But notice what happens. They shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So He's gathering them together. And so then He tells us, learn a parable of the fig tree, His branches yet tender, put forth His leaves, ye know not that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye see all these things, know that is near at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is very important. For in the days that were before the blood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not till the flood came and took them what? Who'd He take away? who was left? All that was left was Noah. He says, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. I believe that this great division is he takes those that are unbelievers and are taken into judgment. Well, especially when we're talking about the Jewish people, they inherit the earth, do they not? And they are left with the Lord. They're ruling and reigning with him. I don't know about you, but it's exciting to see what God's about to do. Amen? Now, we're not a Jew, and I don't believe these verses apply to us in that regard, but I do believe there's some similarities, and we need to be ready, and we need to be doing. Allowing God to work in through us, knowing his will, being prepared, doing according to his will, letting God use us. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for these moments from your word. We pray that you help and guide us and direct us. Lord God, I pray that we might be a people that are, we're just very ready. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. And that you might help us in this matter of purification. We might be more like you day after day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.